We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome to Over America. Oh, boy. The start of the week is here, and it's weird that it happens on a Sunday night. Had one of those rare occurrences. I saw a unicorn on Sunday. A unicorn! I'm not used to seeing these things. So I have a friend from out of town who is actually in studio tonight. He's kind of hanging out, and afterwards I'm going to take him to the airport. He's got an early flight. And we did a couple of St. Louis-y things. We went to Joya's and got a hot salami. Went to Ted Drew's. Went to the History Museum to go check out that Pulitzer photo exhibit, which is phenomenal if you get a chance to do that. You know what I would do if I were you? If you're looking for a cheap date night, take your loved one over. Well, I guess they're not. I think they close at 5. If you're looking for a cheap date lunch, go over to the History Museum and check out that Pulitzer exhibit. I'm going to tell you, it will invoke emotions, and you'll have a lot to talk about afterwards. It's an excellent, excellent setup in there. And again, I don't need to tell you this, but the History Museum is free, and the exhibit is free. So afterwards, we walked to the other end of the building. We went inside the gift shop and started looking around. And all be, what did we see outside the window? The unicorn. This unicorn was not rainbow in colors. It was red. It was in the shape of a giant trolley. And there it was, the trolley I've been waiting to see with my own eyes these last year or so that it's been in existence. You know, the one that doesn't run on time, the one that has a hard time keeping itself out of trouble, preventing, not hitting other cars, you know, that trolley. The one that has a massive amount of debt, the one that, for whatever reason, can't nearly find a way to keep itself afloat, financially speaking. Yes, that trolley, that unicorn, there it was. So we said, okay, let's go check it out. And this is kind of the sound of what the trolley sounds like. It was actually, so let me tell you the experience. I've had a lot of issues with this trolley before, but I actually finally rode the trolley, so I get to give you an honest opinion of what it was like on it. So at the History Museum, it was sitting out there, and we thought, well, we got some time to kill. We just had a big lunch, and we're not going to be eating anytime soon, and we don't have anything else to do right now. So, you know, let's give it a try. And luckily, my wife was back home, which means if we were to get stranded somewhere, I just have to call her. She could pick us up. It wouldn't be a total loss. So some of my fears started to go away. Maybe my guest in town is the good luck charm, but either way, we hop onto this trolley, and we sit down. And if I were to guess, there might have been 3 other people on the trolley. It was nowhere near full capacity. 4 if you count the engineer. The conductor? Nah, engineer. So we hop on it, and I first say, oh, do we have enough time to buy tickets? She said, yep, we're leaving at this time. So we bought tickets. It was $2 for 3 hours. So you have the ability to hop off and hop back on as long as it's within that 3-hour time frame from when you purchase the ticket. I think normally it's 2 hours, but for some reason on Saturday it was extended. So we hop on, sit back, and relax. So one of the things that I didn't really know about the trolley, number one, the woodworking inside of it is beautiful. Oh, it's everything shiny and clean. I've never rode the Metrolink. I'm never going to ride the Metrolink. You'll never hear me voluntarily. It'd almost be someone forced me onto this thing, but I'm not going on the Metrolink. I don't know what it's like on there. People tell me, you got to be careful, right? So I don't imagine it's nearly as clean as this trolley. It was immaculate. There's no trash on this thing. The engineer was extremely friendly, super nice, fun to talk to. But, you know, she had her job to do. And they were very official, and they were very professional in the way that they handled themselves. You know, they had the little CB system. They were, you know, outside of doing like breaker, breaker, outside of like CB radio trucker talk, they were pretty close to doing that. But, you know, everything was like controlled remotely. So she was trying to get permission. Okay, we're going to leave, waiting for permission or whatever. Did it? You know, so they talk the code. Then eventually they go off and she has this loud horn every time she's going through an intersection to make sure the cars know. The seats were, you know, wooden, so they're not padded or anything. I guess if you have some back or booty issues, you might want to take that into consideration. Now, it's not air conditioned, so the windows were open, and it had these, like, bars that it wasn't wood, it was metal, but they kind of looked like wood, little small, round bars. They were painted, so they weren't metal, so they looked like wood, but that kind of kept it so you couldn't, like, put a hand out or jump out the window or whatever it was. Maybe a little extra added security. But it didn't feel too hot in there. The breeze of the trolley was pretty nice, and plus it was shady inside. They were playing some what sounded like soft jazz, which was kind of fun to listen to, too. There's just a couple of stops. One of the things I had a hard time visualizing before we hopped on there, for some reason I thought between the History Museum and the Del Mar Loop, where it basically ends, I thought that was a pretty long distance, but really it's not a long distance at all. It's pretty close to each other. In fact, if you're on a bicycle, it wouldn't take that long to get from point A to point B, but it was just more fun to ride the trolley. Okay, so we get on this thing, hop on the different parts of the trolley. We decide to get off at Fitz's to get I got one of those orange shake deals. Very good. And we thought, okay, we'll just hop back on when it's time. They were luckily running two different trolleys, so we knew that it would be somewhat regular intervals between the two trolleys that were going to go. And somewhere in between, they kind of share a track before they come back around the other way. So we get off, we get the Fitz's, we get seated, we get back on the trolley afterwards. We didn't have to wait too long. And then we came back, I would say altogether 2.5 hours, maybe something like that. It actually worked out pretty well. So here's my general impression of the trolley. Riding there was like 3 other people on the thing. Riding back, there was like 6 other people on the thing. We're talking on a Saturday. We're talking about, did you go downtown this Saturday? There were so many people here because of the Jehovah Witness Convention. There was people everywhere. Well, even down at the Del Mar Loop, people everywhere. There's people all over the place. No one was riding this thing. You want to know why? Because this thing is more of a luxury hobby than it is a business. It's a, oh, look, there's a trolley. Wouldn't that be fun? It's not a, I'm going to use this as a way to actually get from point A to point B. It's a, well, I got nothing else to do, or wow, I'm a tourist and we have all the time in the world and we have no other obligations, so we might as well. That's what the trolley is. And as long as it's a, it might as well, and it's not a, here's the schedule and here's when everything's going to line up and this is when you get on, this is when you get off, without it actually being like a business, the thing is never going to ever make money, ever. And it's kind of sad. They put all that money, $52 million to build that trolley, extended the years out. It was like 2 years behind schedule. They had to put all of that construction. All the businesses along the route were very upset because they were promised that it wouldn't hurt their business. But you know what it did? There were all kinds of issues. And finally, the big promise of it'll draw all these people to your location. You'll be so flushed with customers, you won't know what to do with yourself. Not true, because when you hop on and there's only 6 people on the trolley and it's a Saturday, a weekend, and there's 2 trolleys running, sorry. So I feel bad. In theory, it's fun. Reality sinks in. It's not $52 million worthy, not even close. Will it ever change? I don't know. Their big plan to try to fix this thing is one. Their big plan is, hey, how about we bring stand-up comedians onto the trolley? That'll sure fix it. Yeesh. Joe, hold on. Well, call back. I saw you dropped off. You wanted to say something about the trolley. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. And I got a couple of things here, actually, but are you surprised that I actually rode the trolley? Are you just a little surprised? I have not a lot of optimism for this thing succeeding over the long haul. We're going to have some really shiny trolleys to sell in the end. And who knows, maybe you could pick one up at auction when the thing goes belly up. But still, enjoy it while you can, I guess, if you can find one. The unicorn is still alive. 436-7900 is the number. Or 800-925-1120. Lucky for you, though, the trolley will be saved by stand-up comedians that they're going to start putting on the thing. Yee. You know, there was something else I was going to ask, if anyone's actually witnessed one of these around town. Has anyone actually seen one of these creepy dolls that mysteriously started popping up in the area? KSDK did an article on it. Fox 2 did an article. We might even have put one up at KMOX.com. But national news agencies started to pick up on these random stuffed dolls, little kid-looking dolls, people were placing throughout the St. Louis region. If you've seen one, I want you to tell me what your general impression was. Were you at least fooled by it? Did you call the police? A lot of people are calling the police. Like if you're in Festus, for example, or drive through that area, you may have seen one. Here's the number. You can call or text 436-7900. It's an easy number for you to remember because KMOX has been using it probably for about 90 years, that same phone number. It hasn't changed over the years. The texting has been added on. The phone number hasn't changed. If you're outside the St. Louis region, we're in 30-plus states right about now. So you can call 800-925-1120. But this doesn't make sense if you're outside of the region. But you probably have seen these other things pop up. They look somewhat like trash. Realistic, eerie dolls started popping up in locations across Jefferson County and then in Festus last week. A resident told KSDK here, "At first, I didn't realize it was a doll." So they take a photo of it. And it absolutely looks like a doll. No one should mistake this for an actual kid. But it's wearing like a doll dress. It's got doll hair. And it makes it look like it's playing, you know, what's that? Or you put your head on the wall and you count to 20 and ready or not, here I come. See if you can play hide and go seek. It looks like it's counting for a game of hide and go seek. So they start to get creeped up. They call them life-size dolls, but they're not really life-size. You know, you ever see those like My Buddies or the, remember those from the 80s? They were the dolls that were somewhat realistic, but they looked like Chucky. And when that movie became popular, obviously, all the boys said, "Oh, this is Chucky." Scare their little sisters and stuff. And was I the only one that did that? Yeah, my uncle from New Jersey once sent me that, thinking that I was into like My Buddies and stuff, and I really wasn't. I just used it to torment my sister. So that was more fun than anything else. But one of the dolls, they say, was lying around a rock without a head. Another was found hanging from a light pole. So the Festus Police Department and their police chief, Tim Lewis, told Fox 2, "They're getting pretty good where they're putting these, putting them where they're going to be seen. This is one of at a major intersection." There's two things that could be happening here. One, the teenagers think they're funny, which this is probably the best best explanation for why anyone would put these stupid dolls out to scare people or think they're funny. I kind of understand that sense of humor. I think when I was a teenager, I thought that would have been the funny thing to do. We used to do pretty stupid pranks, but we always did it self-contained, as in around our other friends. We never really did the pranks to random strangers, but that seems to be more the trend lately. See how many other people you can confuse. But I'm going to go back and also make a guess that it could be more college-aged or just out of college-age students that are purposely trying to make a viral stunt in order to get a little bit of publicity because they want to get some PR job or they want to go work at some agency or whatever it is. And their whole job is to try to drum up publicity for their network or drum up publicity for their business. So what they do is they'll do these creepy little stunty things in hopes that people will write articles or go on social media. And in this case, news agencies will write up about how the creepy dolls start popping up and doing all of. And as these articles start to surface, you know what happens? These college kids, they're like, "Oh boy, here we go. We got KSDK. Oh, look at this. We got Fox 2. Oh no, look at that. National News, Fox and CNN and all of them. They're talking about these creepy dolls." And what happens then? They start building their portfolio. And they say when they go into some marketing gig that they're trying to get out of college because they can't find a job because they've been, well, who knows, maybe slack through college or they took a major and they didn't have the wherewithal to network or whatever it is. So they're trying this route. And what happens is they go into these jobs and they say, "Hey, I was the one behind this viral campaign." Doesn't really look like a campaign, but it's a great way to get publicity. You know, radio stations used to do little stunts like this once in a while. They used to do pretty funny little behind the scenes things, and then they would reveal it was them. I once worked at a radio station that, this is kind of funny, the morning show host, back when he was in his wacky FM days, he said, okay, we hit a message inside of the local newspaper. If you can find it, you win the prize. First one to call in and tell us where you found it. It was like a scavenger hunt in the newspaper, and everyone looked, and they couldn't find it, and it would look until someone looked at the engagement announcements, and there was him with his male co-host, one dressed as the groom, one dressed as the bride, their wedding announcement inside of there. And that was, you know, they do little trick things like that. Every once in a while, radio DJs will show up in certain places, and that's what they do. They find different ways to get publicity. We don't do things like this anymore. Maybe I should start putting fake little dolls around town to see if people will pay attention. Festus police say it's all fun and games until someone gets hurt trying to save one of these realistic dolls from harm. Yeah, no, they look like dolls. They look like trash. We have enough trash around St. Louis to know what trash looks like. They look like basically trash. Let's see. Here's another quote from them. Somebody thinks it's funny. Somebody thinks it's cute. Who thinks this is cute? Who thinks, oh, that's cute? Someone's putting these little dolls without heads all around town. No one thinks they're cute. It's all fun and games until someone stops thinking it's a child in distress and gets hit trying to help out. Festus Captain Doug Wendell told one of the news agencies here. So who's doing it? Who knows? I don't know. Maybe they'll keep doing it. It's just like over in, what was it, West Virginia or Virginia or whatever it was, where the dude was putting on an old classic tube television, gutted out as a helmet, and would go into people's doorsteps and drop old tube TVs off and leave. It's the same thing. They're just doing it for publicity. They know people will pay attention. I once did one of these stupid little stunts to get publicity for my morning show when I was in Ohio. The stunt was we went to the local paper and we put out an ad for air guitar lessons. And it was an April Fool's trick. And it had a phone number I set up where people could leave voice messages. And, you know, it was kind of funny. We, you know, call this number, set up a lesson, air guitar lessons. First lesson is free. Whatever. I can't remember how the ad wrote out. I would say we got only about 40 or calls or so, maybe about 40 phone calls. And people mostly just would laugh and hang up when they realized just how stupid it was. But, you know, every once in a while, and I actually got on the local television station. The local TV station called the phone number and said, we got to talk to you about these air guitar lessons. So I called up and I knew who the reporter was, who's actually a big time reporter in Cleveland right now. And I said, it's actually me. Sorry to disappoint you. So they still brought me on to do air guitar lessons, which is probably archived online somewhere. And if you want to get air guitar lessons sometime, just let me know. Coming up, I wanted to talk to our friend Kevin Killeen. He has another great whole nother story. If you've been dropping kids off at school this week or last week or whatever it is, you may be going through a lot of emotions, just like Kevin, who is dropping off his last daughter to college. Now, his other kids are out of college. This is the last one. He's an empty nester now. I wanted to talk to Kevin about that. He actually has a whole nother story recorded about Mizzou in dropping off his daughter, which you may have heard on this program. We played a couple of his commentaries, a whole nother stories, when he was did a couple of them reviewing some of the plays at the Muni. He's going to tell that story, and we'll talk to him about that coming up. We got a lot to get to still, too. I don't know if you saw this, but Bill Maher, on his show over the weekend, putting a couple of Democrats on blast over their anti-Israel rhetoric. We're going to also look at, over in the UK, did you know they can ban advertisements in the UK if they deem them sexist? Yeah, so if they deem them, it doesn't mean they are. It just means that the UK deems them that way. We'll do that next hour. President Obama's high school basketball jersey sold at auction. And I found a new Obama conspiracy theory. This is so funny. I was researching this basketball jersey and up popped an Obama basketball conspiracy theory. Also, SpaceX has an update when it comes to their roadster in space. In last hour, we're going to replay our interview with space philosopher Frank White. If you missed that, it's fantastic. We got a lot of space talk tonight, which I think you'll enjoy. And we'll keep the phone lines open. If you want to talk, you can too. I know your phone works. You probably have a low charge, but still, you can call in at 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Better yet, I know my audience. If any of you actually have a rotary phone that you still call from in the home, call me on the rotary phone. My grandma had one for the longest time, and I remember it took forever to dial. You know, you dial someone out. And it got to the point where the phone company contacted her and said, we got to switch you over. And she said, I'm not switching over. So they kept it was a special phone line that you it would still service Rotary. And she was one of two customers that still used it. She kept it until she died just because she said, I'm going to stick it to the phone company. I'm using the Rotary phone forever. I love that. So if you got a Rotary phone, you want to call in on that too, you can. I don't know why I said that. I'm already off on a tangent. Before we know it, we'll get to your weather next on Overnight America KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. All right. Gonna get to our friend Kevin Killeen here in a moment. He has another great whole nother story to play, dropping his daughter off at Mizzou and the emotions surrounding that. Jack calling in from St. Louis. Hey, what's going on? Hi, are you there, Jack?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I want to ask you a question there. Not to get too far, the political elections coming up, you think this is going to be one of the more divisive ones like during the 60s with, you know, all the riots in Chicago with when the Democratic Convention met? Do you think there's going to be lots of infighting more in the Democrats or within the Republicans? Because, I mean, I don't know. It seems like both parties are kind of confused as far as which direction we want to go to. But another thing is when you talk about what is that? What are you talking about? You're saying that
you want me to answer your question first, or you want to do this one?
Yeah, go ahead and answer Cormac.
Yeah, all right. So I'll answer your question, but I'm going to follow it up with one. Why do you care about that right now? Is there any reason why you brought it up?
Well, I mean, because I mean, it's just less than a year from now. I mean, people are still thinking. I mean, there's so much on you know, divisiveness in the country. And I'm just trying to see how they can try to pull together instead of just fighting amongst each other for political, you know, power.
Yeah. You know,
within
I guess
parties or within the nation or whatever.
Yeah, you know. I don't see too much fighting outside of the conventions, mostly because, you know, the president still will do these rallies. And if there was going to be a chance for violence, you'd see the Antifa types or the protesters outside of them now, but you don't. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you would see it, you'd get more indications of it, I think. But you don't. Yeah. So I don't think there's going to be like what you saw in Chicago. On the Democrat side, I guess there still could be some sort of fight inside of the party. But then again, I don't know what the protest outside would be all about. I don't think they'd riot for it. I don't think any of the parties have actually announced where their conventions are going to be next year. Have they?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know if they've announced it. I don't know. But hey, I'm going to go back to a real topic. They had a paper topic in the New York Post or one of the New York papers, and they were talking about how the Bosnians came to St. Louis and they stabilized, you know, the Bevo Mill south side, and now they're all leaving because of the crime. Is that kind of a depressing, or is that kind of a worry for the mayor or whoever the powers of be in St. Louis, that a lot of people are fleeing St. Louis City after being, you know, relocated there because due to the war, now they're all leaving, and that's going to leave, how does a city stabilize the population due to the crime and all the other issues that are harming the city for people to stay there? Thanks a lot. Have a good job.
All right, thanks, Jack. How did the Bosnians leaving St. Louis impact the population? I think a lot of these individual neighborhoods, and you find some of the more neighborhoods oriented towards, like, you know, ethnic populations, the Bosnian population or the German population or the Russian population, whatever. You find that they normally stick together in certain areas, so I don't know if they would all drive out at the same time. I think most people would realize that they have made roots here, so they wouldn't want to leave this sort of thing. I guess they could be leaving for the county. I don't know. I guess I haven't really thought much about them leaving in mass exodus. I don't really think that's a thing. Oh, is that where the conventions are? Okay, so the DNC convention's in Milwaukee. I don't think you're going to get a riot in Milwaukee. And the GOP is in Charlotte, North Carolina. There's a potential for that one, mostly because of some of the fighting that happened there and some of the protests that happened there just last year. I guess there's a chance for that, but I don't see it really happening. It's, for the most part, it might be a strategic thing that the other side may play up. You know, if there's a riot outside of the GOP convention, then you better believe they're going to play that up as a point for trying to publicize themselves. As in, hey, we're not the party that fought this time around. Well, I don't know. You never know. I wouldn't think too much about that right now. If there's gonna be protests, whatever. Just hope it doesn't turn violent. There's going to be protests anywhere you go. You can't turn around. There's a protest anywhere. Just a couple of weeks ago, there's a protest in the McDonald's parking lot. I mean, you can protest. There's people that protest just for the protesting. So I don't think too much of it. Now, if we're in Portland right now, where you see this Antifa beating up kids and defenseless old men, yeah, we can talk about that. In fact, I reached out to some radio station, one of our sister stations in Portland, and I asked them, you know, I'd like to have you on. Would it be all right to talk about this? So a couple of them were actually at the rallies this weekend, the ones that turned violent, and I'm working on getting one onto the show tomorrow night. So don't miss this tomorrow night here on KMOX. You know, I wanted to talk to our friend Kevin Killeen. How about I'll do this first? Let's play his whole nother story about dropping his daughter off in college, in Mizzou at college. And then we're going to bring Kevin Killeen on our radio program right after the break, too. I love Kevin. Everything he does, everything he says, this is his latest whole nother story.
We got out of the car on a blinding hot parking lot at the Hearn Center of Mizzou.
Oh, my gosh.
That's my wife supplying the oh my gosh. We walked into the building and were greeted by a gauntlet of Mizzou students. They do that for everybody. It was great that they were happy, but I wanted to ask them about some important information.
Where's the restroom?
So if you see where you walked in the front door? Over there.
After taking care of business, later we drove over to Gillette Hall and got in line. Three good-looking guys showed up to help our daughter Emily unload.
Oh, and the big bugs fall short.
They all had bright smiles and winning ways. I saw them as the vanguard for all the boy trouble that lies ahead at Mizzou. They wheeled in her stuff, enough luggage for a trip to Europe. And now it was time to go into my daughter's dorm room and help her get organized.
So Dad, I hope you don't mind. I'll talk to Mom about it. Once we're kind of done putting our bed together, I'd like for you guys to like sit in the hall, because I like to do this myself.
So we sat in the hall on a couch, feeling exhausted, watching other tired parents wait for the elevator. It was 4 o'clock and we were running on fumes from a McDonald's lunch. Let's just go in there and wish her well, I said. So we went in, and our daughter pointed out to us that her roommate was stocked with enough supplies to get to Christmas, and she had none.
Here's a whole box of LaCroix. Here's a vanilla squirts.
We got shamed into running down to the Columbia Schnucks and got her the potato chips, Coca-Cola, cinnamon cakes, strawberries, blueberries, and even some milk. When we got back, I was glad to see the roommate was there.
They actually did give me a lot of food.
Finally, it was time to say goodbye to our daughter. The roommate was watching, so we couldn't get too maudlin.
Love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
You're
welcome. This is so thoughtful.
Yeah.
This is way more than I expected.
Thoughtful. We were told to
We'll
do
see
it.
You at Thanksgiving.
But we did get more.
Well, than maybe Parents
expected.
Weekend, if you're good.
So it was time to get back on the highway. Our daughter was at Mizzou. The Barney years are over. Neither my wife or I shed a tear. We were just tired and hungry and emotionally blank. There was a big moon hanging over the highway as we drove home to an empty house to explain to the dog the New World Order. With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Oh, I love these. I love these so much. So Kevin's an empty nester. I'm going to talk to him next and bring him in. We're going to look at what life is like with an empty house, just him and his wife. Is it everything they've hoped for? It's Overnight America, KMOX. This goes out to all of the empty nesters. Is it everything you hoped for? Is it everything you need? Because you, the empty house, is so beautiful. What's that song? You are so empty nested to me. So I had to talk to Kevin about that, our friend here on KMOX. And don't forget, you can always text the show, 436-7900. You can follow me on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of it, download the podcast at kmox.com/ONA. Kevin Killeen joins us now. New world order you had to lay it out for the dogs.
Yeah. You know, dogs understand certain keywords like the names of family members and things like ball, walk. So I said, you know, Emily's gone. And then the dog eyebrow went up and Jack's not here anymore. And the dog eyebrow went up. But, you know, we'll take you for more walks.
How do you feel now being an empty nester?
I don't know. I mean,
is it weird?
It's quiet. I mean, you don't have to hide the bag of Red Hot Riblets anymore. You can just leave it out in the corner, out on the counter, because nobody else will try to get to it. And there's less competition for foodstuffs. My daughter was famous for these 40-minute showers where you use all the hot water and sing the whole songs to the Phantom of the Opera. Yeah. So our hot water bill's down. You can get in the bathroom.
You can already measure that.
But it's quiet. It is quiet. We miss her.
How often do you think about her?
I guess, you know, 3 or 4 times a day. It seems like she calls about 2 times a day.
Wow. Well, that's encouraging, though. Were you afraid she would never call?
I had not gauged it, but she has called so far to say she was going to change a class. And I was flattered. I said, why don't you get a class in how to give a speech, because you're always giving speeches around the house.
Mm-hmm.
So she dropped an architecture class, which had a lot of math in it, and is going to take a speech class.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Speech classes, I thought, were generally required. I think you had to take one at least.
Yeah, and if you're like most of us and you're afraid to give a talk, which she isn't, why not take another class on it and get even better, because she could go into marketing or sales.
When I went to school, this was before everyone had cell phones, so you had to have a calling card, and I never called my parents. I maybe talked to them once in a while. It's different now when everyone has a phone in their pocket. You can just, you have any question you'd ever want to ask, it's just easy for you to call home and ask it.
Were you, in the piece I mentioned that my wife and I, we didn't cry, it's our youngest kid, we've been through this, but did you or your parents cry with the college drop-off?
You know, I don't think they were there when I got dropped off, and so...
Did they mail you?
A big wooden crate, yeah. So there was...
Well, they weren't there.
No, I don't think that... I'm trying to think back, because we had a friend of the friend that I grew up with. I never met them before. It was Nikki Stinelli, and I was introduced through her because one of my friends went to high school with her, and she just happened to go to Central Michigan, and she had a car. I didn't at the time, and she drove back and forth. So I hitched a ride with her with my stuff, and I think she's the one that drove me up there. And anytime I went back home, Christmas, Thanksgiving, things like that, I always hitched a ride back with her, too.
Nikki Stinelli.
Yeah, Nikki Stinelli.
Sounds like a hit woman.
She's married now. I don't remember her new last name.
Did your parents cry in the driveway when Nikki Stinelli picked you up?
I think she might have.
Your mom?
Yeah, I think my mom became a little teary-eyed. Uh-huh. I remember pulling out of the driveway. They're standing there waving. And the house my parents live on, you know, when you start to drive away, there's a certain point where there's this red brick that you can't see anymore. And you can tell, you know, watching every last millisecond you can of your son driving away, you can see it on her face. She was not prepared for that moment. But you guys, it seems like you handled it very well.
Well as we could. I mean, when you drop somebody off at Mizzou, it's like a Mooney marriage. There's just so many people and it's a huge industrial complex of... Mm. You know, 8,000 students walking around.
It's confusing. It's got to be confusing for your daughter. The fact that she's in a new atmosphere and that giant maze to navigate through that, not exactly knowing for sure you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, but it's good. You know, my wife is worried, well, we got to call her and help her with this and that. But I'm saying let her sink or swim. Like when we were there, my wife said, put together her fan. She needs a fan to sleep to have the white noise. You know, God forbid that she should have to sleep and just have to listen to nothing. But I said, let her put her own fan together. If she wants a fan, let her figure it out.
Yeah.
And when we came back to the room, she had put the fan together without my help. So I took that as a great sign.
That is a great sign. So when she calls home, does she ask for advice or is she just calling because she likes the comfort?
It's only been 4 days.
Like hearing your voice. Yeah. Classes have classes officially started?
Classes officially start in the morning.
Oh, first day of classes.
Yeah.
Bright and fresh. It's a whole different experience from when I was in school. She is probably going to find out there's a lot of walking involved. Is she a fan of walking?
As long as it's sunny and 60 degrees. When we first toured Mizzou, in the wintertime, it was a, you know, like a moonscape, no leaves, and the ground was hard. And she said, I don't know. Maybe I should go to the University of Florida. I said, no.
How far of a drive is it?
Winter is good for the soul. You know, all the Northern Hemisphere countries, they have the highest GPA or, GDP.
Yeah? Is that right?
Because people are suffering against the elements and they have to endure.
They have that mentality that they have to survive. Yeah. Eye of the tiger style.
And all the equatorial countries, you know, they're too relaxed.
Does it ever get too quiet in the house? Does your wife say, we need to turn on the TV, it's just weird in here?
Yeah, she's reading more books. She's reading The Secret Life of Bees for her book club.
Huh.
You know.
What about the dogs? How are they handling it?
Well, we have one dog, and I don't think she has really been too sad. We take her on more walks.
Yeah,
but
handle that
part. It's the real bladder test for the dog, because our daughter used to let the dog out when she came home from high school in the afternoon.
Yeah, trained
and
to do that now.
It's going to be, you know, the long hold for that dog till mom and dad get home.
You feel like you're in it together, you and the dog? You're supporting each other at this point?
Well, who's ever there first to clean up if, you know, it doesn't work out?
So what are you most looking forward to now that she's out of the house? And I'm going to guess there's got to be something you look forward to.
Well, I'm planning a small armored car hold up to pay for Mizzou. And I'm looking for a driver. I've got some plans I'd like to discuss with you.
I just watched a movie about that. Robert Redford, I forgot what it was called, but a big part of it was filmed in Dayton, but it was set in St. Louis, where he was robbing banks in St. Louis in the 1970s.
It's a lot. You know, when I went to UMSL, it was $500 a semester. That was in 1982. Oh, do you remember your college bill on a semester basis? It's gone up so much.
It has gone up. Even when I was there, it's exponentially larger. I can't remember what it was per credit hour.
Mizzou, the tuition there, it's the equivalent of paying for a daughter's wedding every year.
I want to
like
say
having four daughters married.
I want to say it was only
years
like
in a row.
A couple of $100 per credit hour, and then, you know, if you take, I don't know, six or seven classes, about 2 hours each, you know, 14. Yeah, it was only a couple $1,000.
Yeah, but we hope, you know, as we give blood, give organs, give our very life sustenance, our money to our children, that their lives will be better than us. I think of that bedtime story we used to read. Did you ever read your son Emmett, The Giving Tree?
Oh, yeah.
I hate that book.
Yeah.
That book is a warning to parents about how kids will cut you down to the stump if you let them. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
So you want to be more like the kid than the tree.
I want to be the tree that says this far and no further.
You want to be the tree where the apple falls off, hits the kid in the head, and it goes away.
Yeah.
learns to fend for itself. Kevin Killeen, I love your commentary. It's a whole nother story. Thank you for spending
some
time.
And I love your show.
Here. Oh, thank you.
You have a great show.
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
Well, there it is. Kevin Killeen. Find ourselves in that very situation. So, all right. So this is what I wanted to let everyone know. We're starting to get some reports into the KMOX newsroom. 44 eastbound closed. That's near the Merrimack State Park. Is that where it's at? It's between mile markers 225 and 226. So 44 eastbound. There's a vehicle crash. They anticipate another hour or so before they actually have that back open. But that's if it's hard to anticipate these things. It's really hard to guess. So 44 eastbound, Merrimack State Park, right around there. Steer clear. We'll bring you some more details coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.